As we continue on our series of spiritual disciplines, we are in the book of Ruth. Ruth chapter 1. I don't know about you, but I'm happy to be in the house of the Lord. You know, sometimes even in worship, sometimes we might not feel it. We might just say, today was kind of a, you know? We had those moments. You ever had those moments in church? I do. Yeah, it's kind of, you get used to it. They're singing the same old songs. You know? But you know what I love about it is even in these experiences of same old, sometimes God will he'll drop a little nugget that's just special, that's different, that's unique. And you say, you know, Lord, I hadn't heard it like that before. Our date started off like every other date, you know? We stopped by Carl's Jr. We always eat at Carl's Jr. But I like how you mixed up. I like how you decided to walk around the lake before we went home. Something that just spiced it up. So here we are in chapter 1. We're in chapter 1 of the book of Ruth. And the word of God says, when she heard, speaking of Naomi, remember this is after she had lost her husband and lost her two sons to death being in Moab. It says, when she had heard in Moab that the Lord, let's back up here. My bad. I'm actually reading what Pastor Thomas was reading. We talked about, remember, God had provided people with sustenance and food. So when she heard in Moab, verse 6, that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, Naomi and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living, which was in Moab, and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. She was going back to Bethlehem, the house of bread. It says in verse 8, then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show kindness to you as you have shown your kindness to me and to the dead. And the word of God says in verse 9, may the Lord grant each of you that you will find rest in the home of another husband. She then kissed them, and they wept aloud and said to her, we will go back with you to your people. But Naomi said, return home in verse 11. Return home, my daughters. Why should you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, and there isn't much hope. She says, if I thought there was hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters, it is more bitter for me than for you because the Lord's hand has gone out against me. And they wept again. Then Orpah, one of the daughters, kissed her mother-in-law and said goodbye. But Ruth clung to her. She said, look, your sister-in-law, she said, has already left. She went back to her people and her gods. Go back with her. But Ruth replied, don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again that you have called us to a place of worship and adoration, a place of learning and growth. Father, we ask for your spirit to be here as we study your word. Father, may we have an experience with you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Let everybody say, amen, amen. A couple weeks ago, we talked about the first date that went up in smoke, right? We talked about how when God had met with his people on their first date, that there was a billow of smoke and there was a furnace of fire on the Mount Sinai. And how the people were so terrified because of this experience and encounter with God that they actually asked Moses to just talk to God by himself. They said, he's scary. Any of you been so afraid of God that you didn't want to have an encounter with him? Any of you been so terrified of what might happen if you've been in the presence of God because he's too holy, he's too good, and you're not good enough? Well, this is the experience the people had with God, and they preferred to not have intimacy with him. Moses begged the people in Exodus. He begged them in Exodus 19, don't be afraid. God is just testing you. That's all. That's just God putting up boundaries on the first date. He's not going to let you hold his hand yet, but don't worry. You'll be able to kiss God one day. You'll be able to marry God one day. You'll be able to speak to him face to face. He's really not scary. He's just putting up some healthy boundaries on the first date. That's all. And so this led us into the beginning of our series on spiritual disciplines, getting to the point where we could have intimacy with God and why the spiritual disciplines are so important. So here we are in this story. Here we are in this story where we have Naomi, who followed her husband to Moab because there was a famine in the house of the Lord. There was a famine in the house of bread in Bethlehem. And they made a decision that it was better for them to go outside and leave the camp of God and find sustenance, find happiness, find wellness outside of God's camp. Now, we learned last week, that's impossible. Happiness apart from God does not exist. And when they're in Moab, a lot of bad things happen. I don't know about you, but sometimes I like to excuse the bad things that happen in my life. I like to say that God had a plan all along. You've been there before? Addicted. And 10 years after that addiction, you've finally been freed, and you say, well, that's okay. God had a purpose and a plan. No, God never wanted you addicted to weed. That was you. Stop trying to make it act. Try to act like it was a plan that God had designed it. That was all you and more you. So here Naomi is in a foreign land, and she's her husband passes away. We don't know why. You know, could have been a drive-by. We don't know why. But her husband dies, and after 10 more years, the sons die. Both of her sons die. And now she is left with her daughter-in-laws, who are foreigners, and they're with their mother-in-law. Now, you can imagine what this experience could have been like, right? You know, mother-in-law. Mother-in-law. And she's like telling her daughters, babies, girls, I just have to go. Mama has to go. I just found out on the news that God is providing in Bethlehem, back in my hometown, in the land of Judah. That is where I need to be now. Now, here's the funny thing. Had she waited, God would never have allowed her to go without. Had she said, Lord, I'm experiencing a famine in my life, but I will not depart from your will. I'll stick with it, Lord. I am going to stick with your plan. I'm going to stick with your way, because I know if I depart from it, only bad can happen. Even if I satisfy my hunger for a moment, Father, I know I'll be hungry again. So let me stay in your land, stay in your providential will. Let me stay in your purpose, because I know I'll find fulfillment. You know, sometimes we need to be patient in God's land. Sometimes we need to be patient in God's will. We can't rush it. You might experience famine even doing the right thing, but trust me, there is a harvest right around the corner. Because check this out. If you try to do it the world's way or your way, you're still going to experience famine. But Pastor, at least I get a sandwich every 30 seconds. I get a little bit of a high. God is saying, trust me, because even the times of famine and the times of loneliness, there's something to be learned. But Naomi, she was going to learn it the hard way. So she decided to move on out. She lived in Moab for some time, and now it was time to go. But I have to say something. I'm not going to hate on Naomi, because there was something about her, even in the land of Moab, that God was able to sustain her, and she had some type of experience with God that even though she had departed from his plan and his purpose, when things were brought to her attention, when she realized that she wasn't in the will of God, she made a decision, I'm going back home. Family, let me tell you something. I am always grateful for the moments when the prodigal son comes to his senses. I praise God for those moments when we come to our senses. I mean, we can bag on each other. We can get on each other's case and talk about, you know what? You should have never done this. You should have never done that. But I am always grateful when people come to their senses. I don't care how long, how far they've been away from God. Praise the Lord that we all, at some time in our life, come to our senses and say, baby, it's time for me to go home. I need to start going back to church. Church? Girl, you've never gone to church before. When I met you, you were in the club. We're talking about church now. Why are you trying to get all religious and spiritual on me, huh? What's wrong with you? Something is calling me back home. I know you met me this way. I know you're used to being a certain way, but I need to go back to Bethlehem. I need to go back to my hometown. I need to return back to my God. I need to have that encounter with him again. And I know you might think I'm a hypocrite. And I know because I've made so many wrong turns, you don't think I can make a right turn. But God is calling me back. I need to go home. Family, Learn to listen to that still small voice. When God calls you, when you come to your senses, return home. It's time to go home. And she tells her girls, girls, I got to go home. Mama has to go home. And their first response is to go with her. Now, I like this. I think these are some good ladies here, you know? You know? Her sons died in their care, you know? Maybe they're feeling a little guilty, you know? Maybe they felt like they killed her son somehow, nagging him too much, something, I don't know. So they're like, you know, we're gonna go with you, okay, Mama, Naomi, we're gonna go with you. Right, but you got your own mom. No, we're gonna go with you. And she's like, that's very sweet of you girls. I mean, that's so nice of you. You're doing this to honor my sons who have died, and you're honoring me. Your kindness, may the Lord bless you for your kindness and compassion. But seriously, go home, okay? You don't want to, I ain't going to give you any more sons. You hear what I'm talking about, all right? I should be a grandma right about now, okay? I ain't giving you no more sons. And even if I could, you're not going to wait for them. It doesn't make any sense. Now, listen, I know you're trying to impress me. It's nice and thoughtful, but go home. And Oprah's like, peace. Now that you made some sense on that one, because you ain't going to get me another man. And I ain't going to wait that long. So I'm out. And she goes home. Now, what's interesting here is that Ruth still clings to Naomi and is still crying. Now, they all cried. They've already cried. Oh, girl, I'm going to miss you. I'm going to miss you, too. You email me. I'll email you. Catch me on Facebook. You got it, girl. Okay, all right. Bye. And, you know, and so it's an opportune time to just part and feel like, you know, I at least showed her favor. I felt like I did the responsible thing. I told her I would roll with her. But Ruth keeps clinging. And I love Ruth's speech. Ruth says, listen. I'm not going to let you go. Your people will be my people. Your land is going to be my land. And your God will be my God. I have to ask this question here. What was it about Naomi who could no longer provide anything for Ruth? She could not give her another son. What was it about Naomi that Ruth could not let go of? What was it about that person of Naomi that Ruth looked back at home and looked at some ex-boyfriends from high school who weren't married and thought, you know, I could get back with Rick, and you know, I could go back home and live with my parents. I could live with my mother-in-law in a foreign land with a strange religion. What was it? What was it about Naomi? What was it about her person that was so attractive that Ruth was willing to give it all up? I'm not sure if you caught this, but this isn't a conversion experience. She actually transfers her membership. That's what she's doing. She transfers her membership. She chooses Mother Naomi over her own mother. There's something about Naomi, something about what Naomi has that although on the outside it doesn't look like she has much to offer. She doesn't have a home. She doesn't have a car. She doesn't have a job. She has no man to run back home to. Naomi is going back to Bethlehem really as a homeless person. But even homeless, for some reason, Ruth thinks she's rich and that she's better off in the streets with Naomi than in a mansion in Moab. What is it, family? Well, you know, it's interesting that in these cultures and practices that the people believed that you could not worship or serve a foreigner's God without having some piece of the foreigner's home. That you remember the story of Naaman when he was healed and he wanted to pay Elisha some money, and Elisha says, far be it from me, I can't do that. What God gives is free. Go enjoy your healing, bro. And Naaman begged him for 2 mule loads of his front lawn. He said, because I want to worship your God in my land. And I don't think I can worship your God unless I take some of your dirt. I need to have a piece of your God in my land in order for me to feel like he's with me and I can be connected to him. Listen to what Ruth is saying here. She's really saying, listen, Mama Naomi, you don't even understand. I know you can't give me anything. But there's something about your relationship to the God who is calling you back to Bethlehem, and I want that experience. I want your God to be my God. And I feel closer to him when you're around. It's different than when I was growing up in my household. It's different when I was hanging out with my sisters and my brothers. It's different. There's something special about you, and I don't want to let it go. Family, let me tell you something. You can't miss anything you've never experienced. Most of us can't understand this kind of hungering that Ruth has for God. We can't understand it because we've never tasted and seen that the Lord is good. So there's really no connection for us. That's why we can come to church and it becomes part of our duty. Most of us have kind of like an Oprah experience. We know how to talk the talk. Oh, I'll go with you. Oh, if I have to die for you, God, I'll do it. Oh, Lord, I'll give up everything for you. But when it really comes down to it and God says, you don't have to worry about it, we're like, okay, cool. Do you remember the story we talked about 2 weeks ago when God told the people in Exodus 33, I will take you to the promised land, I'll drive out all your enemies, but I will not be there myself. You can have what you want. You want the promised land, you want a husband, you want a wife, you want a new car, I'll give it all to you. And no strings attached. I won't be in the car with you. I won't live in the house with you. I won't be in your marriage. And what did the people do? What did Moses say? Moses says, no, Lord, far be it. We must have your presence. We won't leave this place if you don't go with us. The promised land is not the promised land if you're not in there with us. There was something about the presence of God that was so special, so unique, so fulfilling that even the promised land was dimmed in the light of God. His character, the relationship, the romance. That's why Zacchaeus could stand up in Luke chapter 19 and says, Lord, here and now, I give it all up. And Christ says, I didn't even ask you for that. So, I still give it up. I found a greater treasure. I want to be in your presence. I don't want to let go. I like you. Pastor Thomas mentioned this last week, a minister who talked to us and said, it is after being here at Grand, pulled me to the side and said these words to me. God will not show up at a place where his presence is not missed. You hear me? God will not show up at a place where his presence is not missed. Meaning that if you don't miss if God is here or not, and it means nothing to you, why should he show up? You don't need me there. You're having fun all by yourself. I know sometimes we do that in our own relationships, right? You know how you are. You know, honey, I'm going to the game. We're gonna watch it at my boy's house, the Super Bowl. Oh, okay. Well, you didn't want to ask me to go. Oh. Well, yeah, baby. You you can go. Yeah, you can come along. Yeah. And what does the wifey say? Oh no, I ain't going. No. I want you to go. Well, you didn't ask me. Well, I thought you were gonna go. Yeah, baby. I thought you were gonna go. If you wanted me to go, you would have invited me. You would have made sure I was dressed and ready to go. You're ready to walk out the door right now. Oh, yeah. Oh, you know how it is, right? So God is simply God is so sweet. His presence is so beautiful. It's so enamoring that when you taste it and you see it, if there's an absence of it, you feel like you can't breathe. I know you felt that way when you fell in love the first time. I know you felt that way before. And you didn't think you could have that same type of experience with God. I'm telling you, it would be even greater. I believe it. I believe the first person that Adam fell in love with was God. When God said it wasn't good for Adam to be alone, Adam looked God in the face and says, I'm not lonely. I have you. God says, well, no, but I know you have me, but I need to make a suitable companion for you. I think you're suitable. No, but you and I can't make babies. So I need to create someone special for you so you can fill the earth. And Adam's like, oh, okay. Got you. Because it's not like Adam couldn't talk to God. It wasn't like Adam was walking around like, oh, man, you know, it's not cool. The squirrels have someone to talk to and I don't. He had God to talk with. God played basketball and golf with him. I mean, are you telling me he'd prefer Eve over God? Come on. You have the creator of the universe, the one you were created in his image, the one who breathed life into you. And most of us will say, but I don't know about, is there a marriage in heaven? Because if I can't be married in heaven, I don't want to go. Really? You married to God. Ooh, that's gross. I don't want that. You don't know. That's why there's some people that can say, I can abstain. I don't even need to get married. God, you're enough. There's no fault or wrong if someone says, you know, Lord, I wanna share that feeling that you've given to me, that fulfillment. I want to share it with someone else. Nothing wrong with it. But there are those that say, Lord, there are priests in the Catholic Church that have made decisions. Now, some, you know, they didn't hold to the vow. We know that got some issues there. But there are some good priests that still keep their vows to God. Paul was one of them. So don't hate on those kind of folks that do that. Jesus was one of them, so don't hate. God was enough. And so when you get to that point, you're not in it for a mansion or streets of gold, or if you're still gonna be able to be married and you can hook up with your wife or your husband still, and can you still make babies, and you're in it for God. Honey, I can be your third cousin. I'm not in it for you. I ain't cheating on you, girl, but I have another lover. I've been falling in love with him. I want to see him. I'm not going to let him go. His land will be my land. If he's bringing a new kingdom, I want to be a part of it. He's going to be my God. His people. I want to be my people. That's how it happens, family. You show up at church and you look down the pew and you say, you know my boyfriend? You know who I hang out with? You like him too? Yeah, I like him. Oh, isn't he cool? Yeah, I know. Oh, we talked so long last night for like 4 hours and I didn't get bored. That's what makes church so exciting. We're all in it for the same reason. The same purpose. Now, check us out. Before we wrap up, check us out. This is what's so important. You can't do it for the wrong reasons. You see, Ruth's sister-in-law was following after her mother-in-law because of a sense of responsibility. She felt that was her duty because she was married into that family. And that Naomi was a widow, and it was just a responsible thing to do. There's guilt associated with if you don't come through. Have you been that kind of situation before? Any of you prayed before you went to bed because you felt guilty if you didn't? Anyone read the Bible because they're afraid of the guilt and the shame that they experience? Any of y'all come to church this morning because you're afraid of the feelings that are associated with not coming to church? Or mama calling you up and saying, did you go to church, baby? You see, most of us, when it comes to our experience with God, have it governed by a sense of responsibility and guilt. So that's why we never really experience a relationship that is fully and completely inspired by love. So we kind of have to do it. Well, I'm supposed to do it. Why? Because I'm a Christian. And I need to prove that I love God. So I will follow his commandments. But Christ told us, and we shared this a couple weeks ago, if you love me, what? You'll keep my commandments. Not to prove that you love me, you'll keep my commandments. He says, if you love me, if you're in love with me, it's not even a law. It's what you want to do. So Oprah was different. She was governed by a sense of duty and responsibility and guilt. So as soon as she was released from that responsibility, she was like, peace, I'm out of here. I only did it because I had to do it. Ruth, it was different. She didn't have to do it. She wanted to do it. It's the difference between Zacchaeus, one rich man, in chapter 19 of Luke, and then the chapter before in chapter 18 of Luke, the rich young ruler. One said, what do I have to do to enter to life? Tell me what I must do. The other one never asked the question. Lovers don't have to. They finish each other's sentences. There's something that is like an unwritten law between them. In fact, Jeremiah tells us it's written in the heart. And so Zacchaeus could stand up at the dinner table and say, I give it all up. Christ didn't have to ask for it. But you don't have to when you love each other. I believe, family, that what we call spiritual disciplines, which you have before in the past, you have seen as requirements, things that I have to do or things that I should do, I believe that if we start off on the right foundation, you won't see them as have to's, but get to. I get to massage your feet when you come home. Come on home, baby. I got you. I get to sleep next to you. I get to walk around the lake with you. I get to spend the rest of my life with you. It's not work. I love you. It's what I want. And I believe, family, there was something about Naomi, that being in the very presence of Naomi, Ruth felt like she was in the presence of God. Have you spent that kind of time with God that when people are around you, they think they're around Jesus? People can't miss what they've never experienced. We can't sell heaven. Jesus is coming again, and you won't tell your neighbors because you're not excited. You're not longing for it. You hope it doesn't happen soon. It's not good news to you. It's scary news for you. But I'm saying, in this journey, we're going to get to know God and taste and see him the way that Ruth did. And we're not going to let go. We're going to keep searching, even if there's a sameness involved in it. We don't care if there's a practice involved in it. We don't care, whatever it takes. That's why I love what Jeremiah 29:13 says. You will search for me and you will find me when you search for me with all of your heart. Do you want me? That's what God says. Do you really want me? Does it matter that I'm in your midst? If it doesn't matter, I won't hang out with you. I don't want to be the third wheel if you don't want me around. I'm not giving attitude. I'm not tripping. It's not like that. I don't want to to impede or to bully my way. I don't want to push you and prod you. That's not how it is. I want us to fall in love, and that can only happen by you knowing me, by you experiencing me. I want it to be real. So family, I know there's some in here today. There's some in here today. You've made a lot of wrong turns. You've been to Moab. And you're saying, I want to, no matter what I've done, how far I've gone, and how long I've been gone away, I want to make the right turn right now. I don't want to go back into Moab. Like Oprah, I don't want to do that. I want to cling to my new lover. I want to cling to my God. I want His presence. I've never missed it before because I've never experienced it before, but I want to experience it. I am willing to commit myself to this journey. I want to know Jesus. If that is you, I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. And there might be someone who says, I've been in the church all my life. I never felt like I've been in Moab. I've lived in Bethlehem all my life. I never left during the famine. I didn't leave. I'm still here. But I have to be real with you. I'm kind of here out of obligation. I'm here because I feel guilted into it. I'm here because I'm afraid of what will happen if I'm not here. I'm not here because I want to be here. I don't love him like that, and I don't like him like that. I just think he's bigger than me, and if I don't do it, he might step on me. But I want the same type of experience and same type of connection that Ruth seems to have. I want him to be my God. I want to be in his land, and I want his people to be my people. If that's your decision, stand to your feet. If that is your decision, I want you to stand to your feet, because we are going to go on a journey. We are going to look at things in a way that we've never looked at them before. And it's all going to be about relationship. You might have heard about it in the past as being doctrines and laws and disciplines, and it scared you off, but you're going to see it from a different light. Because you're going to be in love. You're going to be in love. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that you've given us another opportunity to fall in love with Jesus. It's the best thing we could ever do. Father, we cling to you right now, and we're not going to let you go. You've told us that if we could go back home, if we so choose, but we don't want to go back home. We don't want to go back into Moab. We want your presence, Father. We want to be disciplined, Father, in a way that we can experience and encounter your presence every day. So, Father, we're ready for that journey. We're ready to return to Bethlehem, to the land you've called us to be a part of, to the people you've called us to join, and to the only true God that will listen. Father, we're going to search for you, and we're going to find you, because we're searching with all of our heart. We want you, not heaven, not eternal life. We want you. We want to wake up to you, sleep to you. Father, we want you to be a part of every part of our life. We want you. We won't let go. So thank you, Father, for accepting our willingness, our turn back to Bethlehem. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 You may be seated.